He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I've got friends in the work of God. I've got friends in this church. I thank God for each and every one. But I'll tell you, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll be right there when everybody else flees. And when the arm of flesh fails, he will be there to support you. He's a friend. He's a friend. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't have many friends." For a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly. And if you want friends, be friendly. It's just that simple. That's the Word of God. That's truth. That's Bible. Well, I hope the Lord will help us tonight. I felt a little touch back there when I was praying a minute ago. And I feel like what I'm going to preach to you, God definitely laid on my heart. We're not going to do much shouting. I'll guarantee we don't do that anyway. And we're not going to be running the aisles. And I may not preach long, and I may not preach loud, and I may not preach wild. But I'm going to say what I've got here to say. Brother Nolan always used to say, if you load your wagon pretty heavy, the springs won't squeak when they leave. You'll catch that after a while. Load her down pretty heavy, and you won't bump so much on the way home. You know, a loaded vehicle always rides smoother than an empty one, don't it, Brother Andy? Amen. So load down a child of God, and they'll run smoother loaded than they will empty. I'll guarantee you on that. All right, have your Bible, Psalm 77. For you men that are here, we were there this morning, and we'll be back there again tonight. Psalm number 77. And you're already standing, so we'll begin reading in verse number 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. Let's just read the rest of it. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters. And thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now that's reading all 20 verses. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word tonight. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the singing. Thank you for the morning hour that you gave us and the help you was. I pray, O God, that you'll be our helper again tonight, your present help in trouble. And God, I certainly need you. I'm just clay and flesh, and I need the hand of God upon me in a special way. I pray, O God, you'd anoint me spiritually. Help me to use words of wisdom and encouragement to your people. I pray, O God, that you'd touch every heart of every Christian in this room tonight, and even those out yonder under the sound of my voice, may they find strength and help and blessing from the hand of God. I pray you'll help me, Lord, just to stand and preach and not be trying to be somebody else or something that I can't be in this hour. But help me be all that I can be for thy glory and for thy people. And I pray, Lord, you'd save sinners and get honor and glory to yourself. And I'm asking you to stir up the hearts of your people. Bless me, I pray, Lord, physically help my voice. Help me to project it clearly and rightly. Help my mind to think properly. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory for all that you do, because you're worthy of it, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Like I said a moment ago, I doubt very seriously that we'll cut any cartwheels tonight down the aisle. And I doubt that there will be much singing. But I do believe that what I'm preaching tonight will be preached to the very heart of our church. I believe the thought that I'm dealing with is a thought that is a problem that has crept into the house of God. And I believe that it's robbing you of the joy of the Lord and the church of the blessings that God wants us to have. And so I want to try tonight, by the help and the grace of God, to preach for a little while on overcoming a troubled mind and the disease of melancholy. Now, that's far out of line for Brother Hall. I'm not much on this type of preaching. And so I'm going to mention the disease and the trouble very quickly, and then do my best to flee to the help of God that we might learn how to overcome it. Because it's not so much in identifying the problem as it is overcoming that problem. And so I want to preach for a little while on that tonight, of overcoming a troubled mind and the disease of melancholy. I don't think that we'd have to look far into this psalm to recognize the painful and the troubled mind of a man by the name of Asaph. For he said in verse number 2, "In the day of trouble I sought the Lord, and my sore ran in the night and ceased not." And again he said in verse number 4, "Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak." I do believe that a man can become so troubled that trouble will rob him literally of his vocabulary. We will draw up within ourselves to the degree that we'll literally be robbed of conversation. And if we're robbed of conversation, then we're robbed of the fellowship that God wants us to have, not only with our family, but down at the house of God. Now, I want to say, friend, that withdrawing from the fellowship of God's people is not good for anybody. It's not going to be good for me, and it's not going to be good for you. And Elijah found out under the juniper tree that withdrawing fellowship was not good for Elijah either. And so we find here that Asaph is a very, very troubled man. In fact, in verse 3, the Bible said that "I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." In verse 2, he goes on to say that his soul even refused to be comforted. And so we find here a man whose mind is greatly troubled. I don't know why it was troubled. It may have been troubled by family problems, or if we might today, financial problems. It may have been some spiritual temptation of sin that Asaph had been dealing with. But whatever the problem was, I don't have any doubt in my mind that he was a very troubled, confused, and bewildered man when he penned this 77th Psalm. And I tell you, the amazing thing to me is that God could use a man like that who is so troubled in mind that he has problems finding God, and yet God can take that man and use him for His honor and for His glory. I want to say that a troubled mind, now stay with me now, we'll go slow. A troubled mind usually has its origin from a wounded spirit. You know, it is so easy to be wounded today. I've known people who have had family problems, and they've allowed members of their family to wound them grievously. And I want to say that that little member that we call the tongue can be used in a terrible way if we're not careful. It is as sharp as an arrow and can penetrate the heart of people and cut them to the quick and leave a wound, friend, that even time may take. It may take time to heal, but even time will leave a scar on the heart and the life of that individual. Brother, we better be careful what we say to people. You know, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And a soft answer still turneth away wrath. And we'd be wise to be choosy of our words. I won't say a good way to do that is to put our mind in gear before we ever put our mouth in motion. We are so prone to putting our mouth in motion before we ever stop and think out something. And so many times what we say cuts, my friend, to the very core of an individual, wounding that individual and bringing great sorrow and trouble in that person's life. And so I say that most times the origin of troubled mind has its origin with a wounded spirit. And you know, like a wound in the body, everybody listen to me now, you better treat that wound properly. And you better treat it immediately. And I say this, the reason why, it's just like a wound in the body. You ever seen anybody with gangrene? I'm telling you, friend, a wound left unattended and uncared for without the proper type of antiseptic in that wound will eventually lead to gangrene in that individual. And I'm telling you that a wounded spirit, if the balm of Gilead, if the oil of the Holy Ghost, if the Word of God somehow does not find entrance into that wound to mollify that wound and heal that wound, it will eventually turn into a spiritual gangrene that will rot the very core, the very fiber of a man's soul and destroy his spiritual life. You better say amen right there. Proverbs 18 and 14, the Bible said the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Get a hold of that? If you've got the right kind of spirit, it will sustain your physical and spiritual infirmities that you might have. Oh, but that ain't the end of that verse. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? A man can bear up under a physical affliction easier than he can bear up under a spirit that has been wounded in some way, shape, or form. Bible said in Proverbs 18:19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. I'm telling you, friend, I've seen it time and time again that people will get wounded, if you please. They will become offended, and in that offense, they seem almost impossible to win them back and get them back to where they were with God before they were ever wounded. I know that's right. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm sick of this now. Not sick of the verse, but the misinterpretation of it. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Oh, I've heard preachers get up and rant and rave, and I've been guilty of it. And cut somebody to the very heart with words, my friend, that is offensive to that individual. And then they'll quote that verse of Scripture. And what I've said ought never to have offended you if you have great peace with God, if you love the Lord. But I'm telling you, that's not what that verse of Scripture means.
Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble and fall to the degree that they can never rise again. I'm glad, thank God, that a man offended, though he falls seven times, God will raise that man up. Amen. It doesn't mean that a man can get up and call you every name under the sun and it not offend you, buddy. It will offend you. You better mark that down. I'm going to tell you something else. Being snubbed, being shunned, being standoffish is an offense, my friend. And when I see somebody standing off for me, one of two things is a problem. Either I have offended them or they have done something they're ashamed to face me with. Are you listening? I told you it wasn't going to be no pew jumping. Listen carefully. A wounded mind, a wounded and troubled mind that is neglected can consummate in a spirit of melancholy. And I'm going to define that for you in a few minutes. Notice verse number 4. He said, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Did you know that sometimes our grief is so violent that it finds no vent? If your grief, if your sorrow, if your wound, if your problem does not find a place of vent, my friend, it will shut up in you and dry up your bones like they're rottenness. Yes, sir. And you'll struggle. It struggles within us. And it'll overcome us. That's why Jesus said, cast all your care upon me because I care for you. We're not jumping no pews, but I'm telling you, I'm right down where you're living tonight. Son, I've seen a melancholy spirit start out small in this church, and it's mushroomed like an atomic bomb and covered our church like a crowd, and it's holding back the blessings of God and depriving you of the joy of the Lord and depriving this church of the victory God wants us to have. I know I'm right. I know I'm right. You know what Charles Spurgeon said? I read this morning. Listen carefully. He said it was not his body alone which smarted, but his noblest nature writhed in pain. His life itself seemed crushed to the earth. It is in such a case that death is counted relief, for life becomes an intolerable burden. Now I want to say to you, my friend, when you let your melancholy spirit get you down so low that it'll not be long until death itself will look like an escape route for you. It will look like relief for you. Somebody said, oh, preacher, I don't believe that a man can get that way. I'm telling you, we heard not long ago the news of a Baptist preacher that took his own life. And yes, I'm telling you that a man can become so grieved and so filled up with sorrow and so broken on the inside that he'll bottle that up and fail to cast his care upon God. And it can drive that man, my friend, off the deep end in his mind. Better understand what I'm telling you. You better believe it can happen. They've been many a giant. Thought they were spiritual giant. They got wounded, troubled in mind, and let that thing eat at them until they just shut that thing in, and it looked like to them that death would actually be a relief for their life. When our spirit fails us, I want to say when our spirit fails us, there is nothing to sustain us. And our case becomes forlorn. The proverb writer said in 25:28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And hear me well, Friend, when you're down and so low that nothing stirs you, when nothing seems to bless you, when there seems to be no help in the singing and no help in the preaching and no help in the Word of God, I'm telling you, and you get down so low that your spirit cannot elevate you. You're like a city whose walls are broken down. You're vulnerable to the world and the flesh and to the devil. You've got no control over yourself. No protection, no barricade. The Spirit's down and there's no life left in you to resist. No willpower. No willpower. Have you ever seen it? I've heard a doctor say, well, that man could have probably lived, but he just lost all willpower. Had no will to live. I'm telling you, we can get that way. I've known men that's been sick, terminally ill, and they've fought disease and fought disease and fought disease, and it come to the point where they welcomed death. They could have lived a little longer, but they literally welcomed death because they had fought that disease so long. And unfortunately, there was no remedy for their bodily affliction. But I'm telling you tonight that there is a remedy from God for that melancholy spirit that we have in our hearts tonight. Better believe they are. Listen carefully. Melancholy, a gloomy state of mind. I heard somebody talking one time, they called some preacher Dr. Gloom. Never had anything positive to say. You ever been around anybody like that? Everything's negative. You can't. I can't. I won't. I can't. Oh, we can do all things through Christ. Sure we can. I never was a Jack Hiles fan, but I remember he preached one time. I heard him say, you ought to take Cain out of your vocabulary. And I said, amen. For the Bible said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Buddy, we better get that word Cain. Hey, that gloomy state of mind, Dr. Doom, Black Cloud. Here is a man that everywhere he went, and you can look at his writings, everything that he wrote seemed to have a black cloud hanging over it. That means gloominess. Gloominess. This gloominess can become prolonged, listen carefully, or become habitual. If you're not careful, you will find yourself acting out the part whether you're there or whether you're not. I've learned that people are great actors. They can get themselves to a place, my friend, and take on a certain nature, and they find enjoyment acting out that character in their life. God help us. It's like some preachers claim they're called to preach and ain't a bit more called to preach than Billy Goat. One of them said the other day, a well-known evangelist, said a woman can't disqualify a man from the pastorate, from preaching. That man needs to read his Bible. That man needs to read his Bible, friend. You may be surprised when we get to heaven of some of the city flash boys that graced the pulpits across America that wasn't ever called to preach the gospel. And we may be surprised some of them little old boys pastoring in these country churches, 12, 15, 30, maybe 40 people that you never heard of. And they're the very ones that God has called and put His stamp of approval on. That's right. I'm going to tell you what. You look back through the pages of history, you'll find a few Anabaptists, but you'll find more Wesleyans and you'll find more Puritans recognized writing books than you ever will a real Baptist. And Puritans were not Baptist. Charge anything for that. Most of our people found their spiritual success in the catacombs and in places of hiding. Under persecution and attack. I don't want to get off on that. But I want to say that melancholy is a dismal, gloomy a spirit and feels habitually dejected. Have you ever been around anybody like that? That feels like nobody loves me. I've been dejected by everybody. I'll just sit down under my spiritual juniper tree and have my own little pity party. For nobody loves me, and I can't do nothing. I don't know how to do anything. God, have mercy on us. Oh, yes, I want to say to you, my friend, if you're a child of God, my God, it, hey, you may not read. I know Herbert Williamson couldn't read a lick when he went off to Bible college, but I'm telling you, God learned him how to read while he was in Bible college. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that God can take a nobody, bless your heart, and work grace in his life efficaciously and make a somebody out of that man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I wasn't going to preach long, but if y'all don't smile a little bit, praise God. But I want to say, but to God be the glory. He always gives light and will forever make a way for His people. I want to say that again. He always gives light and He will forever make a way with His people. I told the Sunday school class this. I want to tell everybody this. That psalm started with prayer and it ended well. And anything that you start with a prayer life will always end right. Hallelujah. There is no ill in a prayer life. And I'm telling you, things that start out right, I'm talking about really right, will always end up right. There may be some bumps along the way in the middle, but son, they'll come out in the right place. Old Asaph had a good beginning and a rough life, but thank God when he closed around, he is a praising God for the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. That's right. Listen carefully. I said God always gives light. Listen carefully. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Aren't you glad of that? God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Somebody said, what happens to men that don't? They don't appropriate the grace of God in their life. God giveth more grace. He giveth grace to the humble, but God giveth more grace. And their problem is they don't lean on God. They don't trust God. They don't lay with God. I'm telling you, church, on the authority of that Bible night, learn to lean on Him. Lay in the bosom of Christ. Lay in the bosom of Christ. And learn of Him. He's meek and lowly in life. And He will give rest for your souls. Yes, sir. Learn to trust Him. Believe Him. Cast your care on Him. Let Him carry your load. Let Him pack you through. Praise God, He'll do it too. He's faithful. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. He'll let the devil go so far and He'll say, that's far enough, Jack. See, God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempteth He any man. But every man tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And you know who's doing that enticing? Sure you know. Now I'm going to tell you, when that thing gets so far, the devil will say, that's enough! That is far enough! You've took him as far. And God will also, woo, with the same temptation, God will make a way of escape for you and I. Hallelujah. There's a way out. There's a deliverer. That'll do more than deliver us from our sin and salvation. He is our deliverer that'll deliver us through every problem, every heartache, every spill, all the way to the throne of grace. Yes, sir. Now, I believe that way of escape is found in these verses. Now, I'll try to be brief here. I'll try to be done by 8 o'clock. 25 minutes from now, I'll try to be. Try not to go over that if I can. But I believe that the way of escape is found here. In verses 3, 6, 10, and 11, there is a word there that is mentioned all told no less than 5 times. And it's a word called remember. Remembered, remembrance. Remember, remember, remember. 5 times in this chapter. And I believe that he found help and found a way of escape when he remembered some things. When he remembered some things. You know that our memory can be a wonderful instrument for the child of God. This is not out of a book. I got this myself, but listen carefully, and you might want to write this one down in your Bible, especially you, Brother Doug. But somewhere in our past lies the answer to every problem of the present. I want to run that by you again. Somewhere in your past life lies the answer to every problem you're facing today. That's why God said, remember. Remember Lot's wife. Remember, 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 remember. Oh, we don't remember the sin and the ungodly mess that we were always in. But oh, I'm going to tell you, we do remember. I like my memory to go back to September the 13th, 1970, friend. I'm telling you, hallelujah to God. Oh, yes, and I'm telling you, from right there to today, if I'll cover that span of time, I will find the answer to every problem that I'm having in life. Because God gave me a brand new start right there. And the problems I'm facing now will stem from things that occurred in my past. Notice with me, and I'll tell you, memory, when you remember things that you forgot. Whoopee! Hallelujah to God. Stay with me now. Don't nobody leave me. I want to say, first of all, that He remembers the Savior. Look at verse number 2. He said in verse 2, in verse 3, I remember God. Isn't that something that a man could actually forget God? But Asaph, in his trouble and his melancholy spirit, had apparently gotten so low that he had forgotten the God of glory that loved him and saved him. He said, I remembered God. Now what then remember about God? Look at verse number 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. He remembers God's way. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. I want everybody to look up here. Hey, that's why the church is so important. You realize that there's times that God walks in ways that we cannot trace His footsteps. Hallelujah to God, I'm glad that God walks the dark hills, bless your heart. Yes, sir, and there's no way that we can trace the footsteps of God. And though I'm feeling enough God in me to charge hell, hallelujah, with a water pistol tonight. God walks. Yes, Vesco was right. God walks the dark hills. Walks in places that we cannot trace His footsteps in. Job found that out. Surely we'll find that out. We know that. Now stay with me. But those ways, His way, is followed by faith. Oh, the wonderful handmaid of faith. Thanks be unto God that faith reaches out into the darkness beyond our human comprehending and lays hold upon the hand of God in dark places and causes us to walk with Him and talk with Him and tell Him that we are His own. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that faith reaches beyond the walls of this church, reaches beyond the house I live in, reaches beyond Kentucky and the world that we're living in, into the realms of heaven itself. Old Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, memory is a fit handmaid for faith. When faith has its 7 years of famine, memory, like Joseph in Egypt, opens her granaries. Woo! Son, if you can get hold of that. Son, I'm telling you, that's help for your melancholy spirit. In other words, when your faith seems dark, God's way seems dark, and you can't find Him no matter where you look, I'm telling you, just let the eye of faith travel back over those 7 years of famine and beyond them.
And somewhere on the backside of that famine, you'll find God. And when you find Him there, it may be a tad bit old, but His blessings, old or cold, are still precious in the sight of a child of God. Amen. That's why I drum to you, Calvary. Remember it, Calvary. Son, some of you got saved a long time ago. Now I'm telling you, you can let your memory, if you'd just let her go back now to yesteryear. On that Sunday morning or Sunday night, that Wednesday night, Tuesday night, Friday night, Thursday night, whatever night it was, in the morning, whenever it might again, when a holy God rescued your soul. I'm telling you, we might be in famine now and maybe in melancholy spirit now. But I'm telling you, we'll go back to the day God found us. Son, the granaries will be open. There'll be bread enough to feed the poor of God's people. I won't say not only remembers His ways, but He remembers His works. Look in verse 11. He said, I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember the works. And he goes on to talk. He begins to deal in these last verses about God's creation. He remembers creation, God's handiwork. And I believe from verse number 15, I'll deal with that again in just a minute, a little lengthier. But I believe he remembers not only God's creation, His handiwork, but God's conversion, His holy work. Woo! Son, if you can ever let your memory go back and lay hold on the holy work of God. I'm telling you, and He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Whether we're in a low spirit, or whether we're swinging from the chandeliers, whether things are right or whether they're wrong, whether we got money or whether we're broke, whether we got a job, whether we don't have a job. Hallelujah to God. I can go back to that holy work of God and find comfort and find revival for my heart and life. Amen. I know y'all dead. Son, because I'm not straining to preach. I'm having the time of my life. Now, I believe you'd help me. I believe we'd get this thing out in the parking lot. Amen. He remembered His works. I'm going to say when He's remembered the Savior, remembered His way and His works and His wonders. Verse 11, I will remember thy wonders of old. Hey, the psalmist turns his thoughts Godward. Can you get a hold of this in verse number 11? Let me read that for you, please. I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember, what's that next little three-lettered word? Boy, we just brush over words. Thy wonders. He's no longer looking at his little melancholy spirit. He no longer bottled up in his little troubled mind. But he said, I remember thy wonder. Son, he's done turned Godward now. He's focused on the God of glory. Got his mind off of troubles and got him on the God of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name. I want to say secondly, not only does he remember, and I'm going to try to hurry here because I got a long way to go. My time's getting away from me. He remembers the Savior. But if you'll notice in verse number 6, he said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. He not only remembers the Savior, but he remembers his song in the night. Amen. Have you ever had a song in the night? Amen. Look here, apparently he had lost that song in the night. He used to be able to go to bed and sing in his heart melodies to the Lord. And when his trial first started, and his troubles first began, he could still sing that song. But all somewhere between there and where we're at in the Scripture, he had lost that song in the night. But I'm telling you, he said, I remembered, son, I've got a song to sing hallelujah to God. Now, I'm telling you, that's the old medicine man over there, a merry heart, doeth good like a medicine, son. And I'm telling you, a song is a symbol and a sign of a happy man and a woman. Sing me a song about Jesus. Sing me a song about His love. I'm going to sing until I die. Woo! Hallelujah to God.
Thank God for songs in the night when troubles all around me seem to crowd my way and depress me and put pressure on me. And a dark cloud hung over my head. Thank God that the song from my heart, a billowed from my lips, could reach beyond the dark cloud, even into the third heaven. Amen. Where Jesus sits on the right hand of God. And it was a sweet odor in the nostrils of Almighty God. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Notice two things here. When he remembers that song, I call remembrance my song in the night. It has two things. There was first a communication, and then there was an examination. He said, I commune with mine own heart. A communication. I commune with mine own heart. If I may, it's here. That word commune means to ponder. If I may say it this way, at this particular point, Asaph begins to think. Let's let that soak in a little bit. Asaph said, I commune with my heart. I begin to ponder. I begin to think of my condition. And there's not a doubt in my mind, the heart spoke back and said, what is your problem? I'm sure that heart said, you're still saved, Asaph. You're still God's child. He knoweth the way that you take. And when you're tried, you'll come forth as gold. Oh, why are you so discouraged? And why is your soul so cast down? Why is your heart so disquieted within you, Asaph? Hope thou in God! That heart began to talk back to him. And then he began as pondering and communication. Then he began his examination. He said, and my spirit made diligent search. He said, when my heart spoke back to me, he said, bless God. He said, it's time for me to search this matter out. He got to thinking. I'm going to tell you something, church. You're going to have to think a little bit about where you are and think about the path you're on and where that path is going to lead you. You better think of the path you're on and where that path is going to lead you. That's what he did. The psalmist, and I can't quote it word for word, but David said in the psalm, said, I thought on my ways and I inclined my feet unto him. I'll tell you what, if we'll think on our ways and think about where we're at and the damage we're doing to ourselves and the injustice we're doing to the church and the problems we're causing at home, the lack of faith that we have, and the lack of zeal, and the lack of the power of God, and the lack of the burden of souls that are dying and going to hell. How can we help people when we need help? We can't help somebody when we ourselves need help. You can only help somebody if you're in a position to help. A drowning man cannot help another man that's drowning in the same pickle.
Amen.
An impossibility. Drowning man can't help another drowning man. We want to throw out the lifeline. Then he not only remembers the Savior and remembers the song in the night, but look at verse number 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. He remembered the sanctuary. He remembered the church. And I got ahead of myself a little way, but he said, thy way is in the... You know what that way means? It's the course of life. Your way of life, the course of life that you want us to take is down yonder at that little old church house. I don't understand people that find it difficult to come to church. And when we come to church, we come, as Brother Moody said the other night, our lips dragging so low that we got carpet burns on our lower lip. I can't understand that. To save my life, I can't understand that. Somebody said, preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. You are the kind of joy that God has allowed you to go through what you're going through. That in experience, you might be a blessing and a benefit to somebody else. And by the way, what some of you are going through, I've already paid that price, thank you. When I moved into our house in Greenville, South Carolina, the first night we was there, the stinking fleas like to eat us up. I walked into a little outbuilding a couple of days later, and they hit me. I didn't know what it was. It was just woof. They were so hungry, son, they invaded my whole body. People that lived there before us had enough mongrels running around the house. Bless God, the flies were thick, almost like them flies down in Monterey this year. I've been there. I've worked for less than what minimum wage would be for 40 hours a week and supported my family on it. I remember driving up through Nashville, going to a meeting one night in an old green Ford station wagon we had. I didn't know what was wrong. We was driving along, traffic all around us, and that thing started going, bam! I'm talking about back, just boom! Boom! I said, praise God! And just jerking. And when it jerked, it just bam and boom. You know, I found out it was that little computer going out on it. And what it would do, it would quit firing, and the gas or something would build up, and it would backfire up through the carburetor. Son, I thought it was going to blow the hood off of it. We drove an old automobile, honestly to God. Every time it rained, son, we'd have to pay a water out of the floorboard. I've been there. I know what some of you are experiencing. But I'm going to tell you, human bailout is not the answer. The answer is to find God. Remember God. Remember where you're at. Remember the course of life. And remember that your answer to your dilemma is found down at the sanctuary. At the house of God. You'll find the answer down there if you look. I've got to hurry. I've got two more little points, and these won't be quite as long. I want to say not only did he remember some things, but he recovered some things. Look in verse number 10. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the days of the right hand of the Most High. This is my infirmity. But rather than wallow in my infirmity, I'm going to remember the days of the right hand of the Most High. I can see a turn there when Asaph begins to recover some things. And when he said, I will, I believe he recovered his faith in God. I will remember. Listen what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, faith hath a good memory. And can dish and not complain that God keeps a bad house. Now, if you can get a hold of that, what he's saying is when things get hard in your life, don't dwell on it. If God done something good for you back yonder, it may be cold. It may be like eating leftovers. But I'm going to tell you what, I've seen a time, friend, when leftover beans about the third or fourth cooking was better than nothing. Are you listening to me? Let that memory lay hold on that faith in the past. And the faith that carried you then, that memory can bring it to present and carry you on through. I've slowed down and you're slower than I am. So he recovered his faith in God. I want to say he recovered the power of God. He said in verse 10, but I will remember the years of the right hand. What are you laughing at me for? Praise God, I can still punch. Huh? I'll take care of business with you when we get to the house tonight. Making fun of my physique like that. I believe he recovered that power of God. Son, I'm telling you, a man that is melancholy in spirit and troubled in mind cannot enjoy the power of God in his life. But he said, I'm going to remember God's right hand. I'm going to remember that symbol of power. I'm going to remember what God has done and what he can do and what he will do. Amen. Have that power. Praise God, I'm telling you, I feel like getting revived all over again. Like I said the other last week, brother, when Brother Blue was here, I feel 75% revived. Amen. And I hope I... Did I say something wrong? What the... Am I funny? Is everybody laughing at me? I don't... Hallelujah. Recovered the power of God. I want to say he recovered his prayer life. Notice in verse 12, I will meditate also upon all thy work.
and the talk of thy doings. That word meditate is a part of prayer. He recovered a prayer life that he had lost. Down the drain. Oh, preacher, heaven's brass. Don't do me no good to pray anymore. Remember God and recover some things. Remember the song and recover some things. Remember how it used to be in church and recover some things. I believe it'd just break out in here one time. Brother Rain said he's looking for it to break out any time. Pleasant View, and he said, if I see a spark, then I'm going to fan it. Praise God, I'm going to do more than fan it. I'm going to Lowe's and buy one of them $150 round ones about like that, son, and turn full force on. Amen to God. You better believe I'll fan it. Been so long since I heard some of you shouted. You women got to shouting in here the other night, buddy. I like come unglued. Amen. Oh, praise God. What I was wondering was what was wrong with the men.
Amen.
He recovered his prayer life. Notice this in verse number 12. He said, I will meditate also of all thy doings. And what's that next thing? And talk. Or meditate also of all thy work and talk. Of thy doings. I believe he recovered his testimony. He said, I got something to talk about now. I asked for testimonies tonight, and you men sit like knots on logs. Ain't you guys think, hey, when he got to thinking about God's wonders and God's works and God's way and God's redemption, he said, hallelujah, I'm going to talk about God a little while. I'm going to quit talking about deer hunting, buddy. I've got other things on my mind. I'm going to quit talking about Iraq and Hussein and about Al-Qaeda and Taliban. I've got other things on my mind to talk about. I'm going to talk about God and His doings. I'm going to talk about the crossing of the Red Sea and the water come out of the rock. I'm going to talk about the manna that fell from heaven. Hallelujah to God. Talk about that pillar of fire and that pillar of smoke. I'm going to talk about God a little while. Amen. Hallelujah. So he remembered some things. He recovered some things. And then he rejoiced in some things. Somebody said, how do you know that, preacher? Well, look at what he said in verse 15. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. The sons of Jacob and Joseph. And Asaph said, praise God. Think about that. Redeemed. Redeemed. How can you think about redemption and not rejoice over it? Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Come up here and help me, son.
Amen.
Come up here to Grandpa. Come up here. Get your bed sheet. Shake it a little bit. Get up here. Get your thing. Come up here. Praise God some for us. May I say this to you tonight? That whenever anyone gets right with God, joy follows them. Always. Brother Wayne said that old, well, they said a middle-aged fellow. I asked him how old he was, and he said probably about 47 or 48. And I'm glad to hear that's middle-aged. That means I got a long way to go. He said that man got up off the altar a snubbing and a crying, and there's all of them a slinging snot. And he went out the door saying, praise God. He said, I'm saved and I'm going to glory with Daddy. I'm going to glory with Daddy. I'm going to glory with Daddy. I'm telling you, anytime somebody gets right, you can't help but to get right. And when my man's heart is made right, it rejoices the same and elevates that spirit. And that melancholy spirit is gone. Victory, friend, over a troubled mind and a melancholy spirit is found in remembrance and recovery. remembering things in the past and recovering things that we've lost. Let's stand together, please.